Hello everyone, and as always, it's absolutely wonderful to be with you today, wherever you are, on the beach or at home or on the couch. I just pray that we will have a really blessed time together today. A couple of weeks ago, a few members of our congregation, of our family, shared both online and face-to-face, facilitated by Sandra, some of the challenges that they have walked through or are walking through and how they've worked to navigate those. And it was really inspiring and encouraging. I've heard from lots of different people how encouraging it was for them. And it was also a really good reminder for all of us that the people in our world and the people in our lives and the people that we walk past every day, more often than not, are going through something. There is something happening for them beneath the surface. Probably like there's something happening for you and there's something happening for me beneath the surface. And so it was such a reminder of that for us to be aware of that. And so in the context of that, I felt led to bring this message to you today. And I really pray that it will be a message of hope and it will be a message of encouragement and it will be a message of comfort for those of you who may have things going on beneath the surface that others may not even be aware of. And also as a bit of a challenge for us to be that comfort and to be that encouragement to those of us that are around us and those in our world. And so the title for my message today is Where Everybody Knows Your Name. Now, that line comes from a sitcom, a US sitcom that used to run in the 80s and the early 90s, and I think it's probably still running on some free-to-air channels today. And if you are my age and a little older, you probably know exactly where that line comes from. And of course, it comes from the sitcom Cheers. And Cheers is a TV show about a group of friends who go to a place which happens to be a bar, and Cheers is the name of the bar, and they all go to this bar and they all do life together and they support each other and they all go there every day, which probably isn't the healthiest place to go every day, but alas, that's where they go because that's where they find belonging and that's where they find each other and that's where they find that place where they can really connect and like I said, do life together, work through their challenges together. And so it's a really funny show that I wasn't allowed to watch until I was a little bit older, and now I've caught up. And within the theme song of that show, at the beginning, are these words. And I'd like to read to you the words of the song. They say this: making your way in the world today takes everything you've got. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away where everybody knows your name and they're always glad you came? You want to be where you can see our troubles are all the same. You want to be where everybody knows your name. Be glad there's one place in the world where everybody knows your name and they're always glad you came. You want to go where people know people are all the same. You want to go where everybody knows your name. And I remember being a child and going to church with my mom and dad. And it was a relatively conservative church. And the pastor played the theme song of Cheers, which was, you know, very risque because it's a bar and we're in church and that's so inappropriate. And there were some mumbles and grumbles. And at the end of the song, he said, that's what we need to be. Because people are looking for that place of belonging. People are looking for that place where everybody knows their name and where they are safe and where they are understood and accepted. And so they're going to find it at places like Cheers and maybe at clubs and bars and in other areas. But we want to be that place. As a church, we want to be that place. And I remember it stuck with me my whole life. Every time I hear that song, I always think to myself, that's what we want the community of believers to be. We want to be a place where you can go, where people know that people are all the same. You want to go where everybody knows your name. It conjures up this beautiful image of a place where people belong and people connect and everybody knows your name. And there's something really powerful about having someone know your name. I don't know if you've ever had a conversation with someone and you're having a chat and they go, oh, it's really good to see you, Patricia, assuming your name is Patricia, of course. And then you think to yourself, geez, I didn't even realize they knew me. That's great. There's something really powerful about being known. And you would have experienced the converse, I certainly have, where you think you know someone And then they call you the wrong name. Now, you all know my name is Amelia because it pops up on the screen. But a lot of people call me Angela. I get Angela all the time. I get Angela so much that actually when I worked at Harvest Bible College many years ago, at Christmas, the team, as a bit of a joke, would all write in the Christmas card to me, "Dear Angela, hope you've had a great year." And so you're a little disappointed when someone calls you the wrong name because you thought, oh, I thought we knew each other. Daryl gets Darren all the time. I'm sure it's happened to you. It happens to all of us, and most of us have done it. We're all guilty of getting people's names wrong. It happens. It's life. Things happen. You know, I remember years ago, Daryl and I moved into a house when the kids were still small, and we had these lovely neighbours who worked at a bakery. They were bakers. And so they came round and they were lovely and they had small kids, and they came and introduced themselves and brought some fresh bread, which was wonderful. They came in and they introduced themselves and we all sat down and had a bit of a chat. And then they left and I said to Daryl, "I didn't catch their names. Did you catch their names?" And he was like, "I thought you would have heard them." And you know, when you're doing the quick introduction, it's difficult sometimes for the names to register. And that's what happened. And so we were like, well, we need to just pay attention. Next time we're all together and connect, let's listen to what they call each other so we can get their names. And of course, they called each other darling and lovey, which was really not useful at all. And then you get to a point where it's too awkward to ask because you now have been getting bread from them every day for the past 6 months. And so at this point, it's too tricky to say, "Sorry, what are you guys called again?" Particularly because they kept on calling us Daryl and Amelia. And so come Christmas time, the Christmas card was to our favourite neighbours because we had no clue what their names were. And to be honest, I don't think we ever found out. And so if you ever get a Christmas card from me that says, "To my favourite something," you'll know that something's afoot. And so, of course, it happens to all of us. But there is something really powerful about remembering someone's name and knowing someone's name. And so there are tricks and tips you can do to remember a person's name. Many of you know that I work for an organisation called Prison Network. And Prison Network works with women who are in prison and women who have been released from prison. And most of the women we work with have experienced complex trauma and experienced significant trauma in their lives. And so we do all sorts of training about how to work with these women and how to understand what's happening for them and what they may be experiencing. We do trauma-informed care training and all sorts of things. And those are all really good and powerful. But I'll tell you what, some of the training that has some of the biggest impact, quick short-term impact, is when we train people how to remember someone's name. And the feedback we get from the woman we work with when they say, "They remember our names. I am known by them. That volunteer came and played netball with us a month ago. And then she came here this month and she said, 'Hey, Monica, how are you going? How are things going with your mom?'" And that for me was the most incredible moment, the most powerful moment, because there is something very powerful, very life-giving, very transformative about being known and about being acknowledged. I've read about studies and research done in the US where there are small American communities where they're experiencing a lot of, you know, youth-related crime. And so one of the strategies that they employ is that the corrections department or the justice enforcement of that particular town brings in a strategy where they bring the community together and they say, "We are going to learn all the names of the young people in our community, and we are going to acknowledge them and address them instead of ignoring them in this town." And so they'll see John and Fred and Pete. Sorry, I know those are very unimaginative names, except if your name is John and Fred and Pete, then they're excellent, lovely names. Or Mary or Sue, and they go, "Hey, how are you going, Sue? How's your week? Hey, John, how's school going?" And in those communities where the community learns the names of their young people, crime goes down. It is phenomenal. The power of being known and the power of being seen and the power of being acknowledged. Now, we're coming to the end of the year and there is a very exciting event that's happening at the end of this year. I'm sure you're across it. I'm sure you're organised. I'm sure you're counting sleeps. I'm not talking about Christmas. I'm talking about the release of the new Avatar movie. Now, if you are anything like me, you are so excited, and most of you are rolling your eyes, and that's fine, there's no judgment, everybody's welcome here. But in my family, we are science fiction people. We love science fiction movies. We are hanging out for the new Avatar. When the last Avatar movie came out, my boys were little, and we loved it, and we went to see it at the cinema 3 times, and it was brilliant. And in the movie, there is a couple of scenes where a native woman called Neytiri, and Neytiri is an indigenous woman who lives in the land of Pandora, which is a far-off place in a faraway world that doesn't really exist, which makes it so wonderful, but it is utopia. It's this perfect place where people live in community with each other. They live in community with their environment, and everything is just well-balanced. Essentially, it is shalom. It is Ubuntu. It is perfection. And then, of course, you know, humans come along and mess things up, as they often do in science fiction movies. And one of these people is Jack Sully, who is an American soldier. He's played by an Australian actor called Sam Worthington. And he comes in under the guise of being an explorer to understand. And so they're teaching him their ways. And Neytiri is teaching Jack her ways about how to exist within the world of Pandora. And one of the key lessons that he has to learn is how to say hello. And the way in which they say hello, I couldn't pronounce it even if I tried. And trust me, I've tried. I've YouTubed how to pronounce how they say hello. It's 3 words and it's all a bit complicated and I'm not going to even bother. But the way it's translated is, I see you. And so instead of just saying, hello, hello, how are you going? Hey, yep, yep. They look at each other and they stop at every time they connect and they say, I see you, and respond with, I see you. And it's not, I see you in front of me, I see that you exist. It's that, I see who you are, I see what you bring, and I acknowledge that you're here, and I acknowledge who you are. And I loved that. I just thought that is really powerful. Imagine a world where we really see each other without assumptions, where we see each other without judgment. Imagine how good that would be. Imagine the community we could create. And so I decided that we were going to do that in my home. And I told my boys, from now on, we are not saying hello here in the Pickering house. We're saying, I see you. And I remember them being like, Mom, that is so weird. Like, we're doing it. And then they would come home from school and they'd be like, hey. And I'd be like, what do you say? And they'd be, I see you. And I'd be, yes, and I see you. And then it was a couple of days and they boycotted it. They were like, it's ridiculous. It's not going to stick. But I just loved the idea of really stopping and seeing each other. It's incredibly powerful. Now, some of you may be watching and may be thinking, I don't get it. It's weird. I don't feel like I need to be seen. I just am. I'm fine. I'm comfortable in my own skin. I don't want anybody looking at me saying, I see you. That feels strange. And that's okay. And that's great for you. And there are a lot of people who I know this is resonating with. I know you feel like you haven't been seen and you haven't been acknowledged and that there is so much about you that is misunderstood. From the woman from Prison Network and the woman that I work with, I know that those women have felt invisible most of their lives. And so being seen is so significant. Me personally, I feel like I have been misunderstood most of my life. My intentions and my manner is often misunderstood. And I remember working in the kitchen relatively recently, actually, and listening to the audiobook of A Road Back to You, which is a book about the Enneagram. And it was talking about my number, which is I'm an 8, and I'm a female 8. And they were talking about how female 8s are often some of the most misunderstood people in the Enneagram. And he does a part in the book where he goes through 20 different things that he says, this is what an Enneagram 8 might say. And he makes all of these statements. And I literally remember standing there with my hands in the dishes with tears pouring down my face because I felt heard and known and seen and understood. And there is something so powerful about not having to explain your intentions, about people seeing who you really are and what you really bring. And so I am convinced that there are many of you who feel the same, and I want you to know you are known and you are seen and you are worthy and you are valued and you are loved. And I know that because the Word of God tells us that, because God's way and God's Word speaks that to us over and over again in the Bible. And so I'd like to read for you today a psalm. And if we had 3 hours, we could go through so many passages of Scripture where this is so clear about God's knowledge of you and His love and acceptance of you. But we're just going to read one psalm, and I'm going to read most of it. It's Psalm 139, and it says this: O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The light will shine like the day, for darkness is at light to you. For you created my innocent being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, I know full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All my days were ordained in your book before one of them came to be. How precious for me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. How wonderful is that? How precious are your thoughts to me, O God? Now, you cannot get much clearer than that. This is David's psalm, his prayer to God, and he's saying, I know that I am fully known. I know that you know everything about me. You know the good, you know the bad, you know the ugly. You know my thoughts, you know my movements, you know my intentions, you know my actions, you know it all, God, and you love me and you bring light to me and for me. And one of my favorite aspects of this passage is you hem me in before and behind. What a beautiful picture that is, being hemmed in. I remember years ago going on a holiday where this idea of being hemmed in became really clear to me, and I had a great visual of what that could look like. And so we went away with our boys. We went camping. I think we were arriving at a different time. And so we went in two cars, and we went, in the first couple of days, we went hiking, and it was stinking hot and there were flies everywhere. And of course the boys just loved it. They were so enthusiastic, not really. But one of the things that the boys did do is say, okay, well, let's take turns helping with the flies. And so we broke off a branch and one of the boys sort of stood in front of us and we walked single file as we hiked, and they would swat as we walked. And so the flies weren't hitting us in the face because we were standing behind whoever was swatting the flies and walking in single file. And it was great. It was really effective. And then on the way home, Caleb had been working up his hours and he was on his L, so it must have been about 12 years ago or so. And it was kind of early days and he was a little bit nervous, but we were in one of the cars and he was going to drive home to get those hours up. But on the way there, he had felt really stressed because there were so many trucks on the road. I think we were driving on the human highway. And so Daryl said, that's okay, I'll drive behind you and I'll take the pressure of the truck so you don't feel the pressure. And I remember us driving and looking at Caleb and just seeing how much more relaxed he was driving home than he was driving there. And then looking in the rearview mirror and seeing that Daryl was holding a really good distance behind us, and behind him was a whole lot of cars that he was holding back. And I just had such an understanding of what it's like to be hemmed in, to have someone go before and go behind, just like in that hike, you know, the flies were still flying, but there was someone in front of me bearing the brunt so that I could walk more easily. And when we were driving home, the trucks and the pressure and the cars were still there, but there was someone behind pushing back on that pressure just to give me a little bit of space and a little bit of opportunity to breathe and for Caleb to relax. And God does that for us. We are hemmed in. He's going before. He's going behind. And so this passage is not just about the fact that he knows you, but that he is with you. And he is going before and he is going behind. And so it is just such a beautiful reminder to us that we are known in our entirety. Everything about us, we are completely known and we are completely loved. And he is with us in it, through it, before and behind. And so it is from that place, we need to get to that place, and it is from that place that then we have a responsibility to do that for others, to see others as Jesus would see them, to make time and space to acknowledge the people in our worlds. We're busy. We have lots going on. We're in the habit of going, hey, how you going, how you going, how you going, how you going? And we're really insular often. Our lives consume a lot. There's work, there's kids, there's stuff. And so I get it, you know, we can be really insular in our approach to life, but we are encouraged by Jesus' example to see the people in our world, to stop and to acknowledge, get rid of the assumptions and get rid of the judgments and get rid of the ideas of what we think people need to be and what we think people should do, to interpret their actions. And often we do that. We tend to judge people on their actions and we judge ourselves and our intentions. But to push that aside and to stop and acknowledge the people around us and to really make the effort to see them and to accept them and acknowledge them and to love them. Jesus was such a beautiful example of this. You know, we see story after story of Jesus seeing the woman at the well, Jesus seeing the adulterous woman who was about to be stoned, of Jesus seeing the woman who touched his cloak, of Jesus seeing, the woman who washed his feet with her tears. You know, at a time and a context where women were not seen and women were not acknowledged, that's a pretty powerful statement from Jesus where he stops and he says, I see you and I know your name and I know your life and I know what's going on for you and I am with you. I am in it with you. And so we are encouraged to do the same. We're encouraged to see the people in our world with the eyes of Jesus, encouraged to see people with a filter of love, that they are people that are made on purpose, that they are made for purpose, and acknowledge that in others. And so I encourage you as you go about your week, you may feel like this has resonated with you and you've struggled a little bit to feel like you're seen and acknowledged. I encourage you to read this psalm. Read it every day. Read it as often as you need to. And make space for God to speak to you about it. Sit with this passage and let it bubble up. And let God show you how you are known through his Spirit. And all of us are encouraged, whether we feel or see known or not, we're all encouraged to be that to others, to be someone who sees. And when we do that, what a community we will be. We will see heaven on earth, his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, when we start to live in a community where we really see each other and acknowledge each other and love each other. And maybe then we can be a place where people know that people are all the same. Maybe we can be a place where everybody knows your name. It'd be pretty cool. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. And we thank you that it says this, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. And you're familiar with all of my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, You know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. We just thank you for that, God. We thank you that we are hemmed in. We thank you that we are loved. We thank you that we are seen, that we are acknowledged. We thank you that you see us as a thing of beauty, created for purpose and deserving of love. And we pray, God, that we'll believe it also, that we'll know it to be true and we will stand strong in it, and that we will use that, God, to be a person for others, that we will see those around us. We will see the pain, the need. We'll see the love, the hope. We'll see the dreams. We'll see the potential. We'll see the people around us and all that they bring. And we thank you, God, that when our eyes are opened to that and our hearts are opened to that, that we will see your kingdom come. And we thank you for all of that in your precious name, Jesus. Amen. Bless you.